CliffCentral.com.
It's the Chainsmokers. Yeah.
Okay.
You know the Chainsmokers.
Yeah, sure. No, I like that as a band name, actually.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
All right, the Chainsmokers with Don't Let Me Down. Time for the news with Mabale Moloi. Mubs, what do we have?
Now, we all like to go on and on about how we've got so many different problems in this country, right? But at least a problem that we don't really have to stress too much about is terrorism or acts of terror on South African soil.
Well, it doesn't happen that often here, but I saw that the US issued some kind of warning the other day that our shopping malls are going to be targeted during Ramadan.
Yeah, they did this over the weekend, and this is now the second time that the US have warned of possible terror threats on South African soil. Mm-hmm. This is because the Islamic State have basically, you know, said to their adherents that they need to carry out more terror attacks during the upcoming month of Ramadan. So, as part of their statement, the U.S. Embassy said that terrorist groups are planning to carry out near-term attacks against places where U.S. citizens congregate in South Africa, and this would include upscale shopping areas and malls. But the Department of International Relations and Cooperation seem to be upset with the statement that's been released by the U.S. Embassy because they're basically saying that they're irresponsible and could lead to a lot of panic being spread among South Africans. And so there was a big tour that broke out between Clayson Munyela, who is the spokesperson of DIRCO, and then U.S. Ambassador to South Africa, Patrick Gaspard. So Clayson Munyela had this to say on Twitter. The last advisory by the U.S. Embassy to U.S. citizens in SA warning of an imminent attack proved to be a false alarm. I see there's another one. To which Gaspard replied, the price of freedom is eternal diligence. And through grace, we are all made safe. The only false note is arrogance. So my question is, should we be nervous? Or
we should always be nervous. These crazy lunatic motherfuckers with their explosives. I'm always nervous of this stuff. And I'm sorry, I think that is the biggest existential threat to our own security, is this violent bullshit of if we sacrifice ourselves, we martyr ourselves, we go to heaven, and therefore we can behave like complete lunatics on earth. To me, you can't argue with that. You can't fight with that kind of thing rationally. You can't sit down and discuss it with people. If you believe in martyrdom, and it's a central tenet of your religion or your culture or your faith or whatever, you're a problem to me. Because it means you'd be willing to do very bad things, because you believe what comes afterwards is better than what there is now. And that makes it difficult for me to live happily. Because if you believe in all that stuff, and you're willing to take your own life and the lives of many other people, we can't really have security around each other, can we? So I'm with the U.S. government. Listen, if they give us a warning, and they give us some intel, and they say, look, be aware, be diligent, be on your guard, how could we have a problem with that? They're not doing it to terrorize us. They're not saying you must live in absolute fear all the time. But we've got intel. This is what's going on. ISIS is a real thing. You know, north of us, look at what happened in that mall in Kenya.
Oh, boy.
Do we have to go back there?
Well, maybe we just
do. Have we managed to get any closer to finding out what Boko Haram did with all those girls? One or two of them have made it out.
Yeah.
But the rest are gone. We still don't know. And this is the same strand of lunacy that America's warning us about. Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, these are on our continent. They're not that far away. I think we should be diligent, and I think it's kind of the U.S. to loop us in, to copy us in on their intel. Thank you very much. I don't know why Clayson Munyela would have a problem with this. So the previous time, it was a false alarm. So he's saying crying wolf is more dangerous than getting useful intel. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, he's saying that he doesn't want us to go into a panic for no reason. Now, the director of the Terrorism Research and Analysis Consortium, that's Jasmine Opperman, she was speaking all over the news during the weekend about how face-to-face recruiters are now active in different parts of South Africa. This would be Cape Town, Johannesburg, Newcastle, and Port Elizabeth. And she said that the next step is formation of recruitment cells. And Morocco, Spain, and Europe have proven that once you have recruitment cells, this is when active action unfolds next. So, yes, there are these warnings. And then as a result, South African malls have apparently been stepping up their security, saying that after they received the intel from the U.S. Embassy, they've decided to take it upon themselves to increase security. So this includes Sandton City in Gauteng, Eastgate, and Menlyn Malls have all confirmed receiving a warning. And then also the V&A Waterfront says that they're also looking into stepping up their security.
What about Mall Africa? Or is the sheer number of people just going to be the security buffer they need? Imagine trying to make a terrorist attack and there's like a sale at game. You won't be able to get there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, to me, just I don't like shopping malls in the first place because you're around all these other people and it's just noisy and chaotic and busy and irritating. I always get really stressed out at malls.
What I don't understand is they're going to increase their security, so they'll put an extra one or two guards. These guards aren't armed. They're not like trained in counter-terrorism and stuff. If they really wanted to take a proactive approach, and during this period of time where it's high alert, we should have like metal detectors people walk through to get into shopping centers, stuff like that, or armed guards at the door, or military personnel, something like that. Not just three extra people with batons.
Yeah, because I mean, part of the fear with terrorism attacks is it's really difficult to protect yourself 100%, isn't it?
Yeah,
because you don't know who these assailants
are. That's right. We don't know who these people are.
And you have to be trained in counter-terrorism. If you see someone with a belt, like, attached to their body, you need to know what to do to make them not detonate that belt.
We need to ask the Israelis. They know how to handle this stuff.
Yeah.
Really. They know what they're doing. They've been dealing with terrorism inside and outside of their borders all their lives. That's who we need to ask. Let's not mess around. All right, but anyway, that can't be the most important thing. There's got to be other stuff too, right?
Oh, well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff.
Well, don't let me stop you.
Okay, so following Muhammad Ali's death, a family spokesperson has spoken out about basically how the funeral arrangements are going to play out.
Uh-huh.
And it would seem that the entire world is basically going to be able to, you know, see the funeral because it's going to be live streamed all over the world. Political leaders, sports figures, celebrities, and fans around the world will all get to be a part of it. Yesterday, the relatives accompanied Ali's body from Scottsdale, Arizona to Louisville, to his hometown in the state of Kentucky. On Thursday, the family will have a private ceremony. Ali's coffin will be transported through the streets of Louisville on Friday, and then there'll be a public memorial service at an arena where former President Bill Clinton is among the celebrities expected to offer eulogies. And that portion is going to be live-streamed.
Well, that'll be cool.
Will it?
Well, I mean, you know, you get these funerals like when the Pope dies or when Madiba did. And they're quite a spectacle. I mean, people like to see this. It's also a way for, I suppose, everybody who isn't there to be part of it, to feel part of a big farewell. That's really what it is. So I think it's cool, right? And, I mean, he was a big star, and there are lots of people all over the world who won't actually be able to go there. So this is a way for them to share in the occasion. I think it's terrific. Let's do it. What would happen, says Khaled, if an attack occurred and we found out the Americans knew something and they didn't tell us to avoid panic? They've learnt their lesson. It's time we do too. That makes sense. Those morons at the hilariously named Media Review Network have cried Islamophobia over this. The warning about terror. So there's another bit of useful information for us. What else do we have, Mubs?
All right, so at this point in time, we're all familiar with manscaping, right? Manscaping...
This is where men groom body hair and that kind of thing, right?
Yes, you know, you have some guys...
removed a lot of it.
Yeah. So you'll have guys waxing their chest hair off. You'll have guys trimming and waxing their genital area as well. It's, you know, the trend has, it took over. Yeah, Damon. Remember Damon waxed his balls? How can we ever forget that? Anyway, so manscaping. Trend took over, it's great. But as is the case with a lot of trends, they get followed up by other trends. And the latest one seems to be a scrotoplasty.
Oh boy, what is that? Really?
Oh yes, move over manscaping. The latest trend in male groin grooming is a scrotal lift.
What?
It's like a breast lift, but it's for your scrotum.
So, if your balls hang too low?
Well, yes, because, you know, a scrotum is not exactly a nice thing to look at.
No.
And a lot of the people who are opting for the surgery are a lot of men who are 50 and over, because what happens is that the sagging really leaves a lot of older men feeling very self-conscious about their ugly scrotums.
Okay, sorry, what am I about to say? I've got to chime in here. So, I was at a golf club on the weekend, and it's worse than the gym. Those old guys, they don't just shower. It's like, so how's it around? Like, I'm having a shower. Okay, I'm in the shower, okay? There's plenty of time at the bar. You can have hours around.
They talk to you while you're having a shower?
Well, they talk to everyone.
Don't you have doors in the shower?
No, look, this place was fancy, okay? But there's no doors.
No doors?
No, you just shower. There's no windows or anything. But they stand there. And they're just drying their balls.
Balls are so revolting. Can we just do without the balls?
It's this long process, and standing there, and it's raising the leg, and it's like, come on.
They love doing that.
It's like watching a deckhand greasing a deck.
Oh.
It just took so long, and they just stand there in full view, hours around, and then it's just, just go away. I broke the course record, and I go dry your balls somewhere else.
So, Ben and Gareth, you guys are never going to show your balls anywhere? Are your balls just going to stay all hung up?
No, yeah, we don't want to show them, though.
Who wants to see balls?
Exactly. It's like, how often in your life do you go, I'm having a really bad ball day. I really hope I don't have to show anyone. You don't, like, there isn't really a time where your balls have to be amazing.
I don't know anyone. Okay, now, it doesn't matter what your sexual orientation is. It doesn't matter what turns you on. It doesn't matter where you come from. I don't know anybody who's ever said, wow, those are really great balls. Like, what balls, how will they ever be judged as better than other balls?
Exactly. He's a bit of a douche, but you should see his balls. Like, he's got such lovely balls.
Potentially, this whole procedure could be getting done because of maybe during sex, if your balls hang too low, the things that could hit. So this could be done because it's hurting them.
Look,
what sort of sex is in
your
mind,
Michael? Think
of your
balls hitting the underside of a table.
Why is he humping a table?
Why are you getting your balls anywhere near a table?
Say you're having sex on top of a table.
Okay.
Now, usually the balls would be on top of the table, but now because his hangs so low, they're curving around the edge and hitting the underside of the table.
Wow.
So you're saying the balls could be injured if they hang too low?
Yes.
What a horrible
The woman
thing
could
to think
sit
about.
On his balls?
Right now, I want you to tell me if you've got a mental image of some. Because that's what I'm thinking. I'm imagining some dude with low hanging balls smacking them against the table.
Are you imagining Gary Player's balls? I mean, he's
Gary
80 Player's years
balls
young.
Must be,
That ball sack is 80.
Oh, no.
All right? And he claims to be fit almost in every part of his body.
Yeah, that's true. But he definitely has to roll them up.
So this is all because of
roll them up.
This is all because of vanity, right? Because this is what happens to us as humans when we get older, is we find more and more things to complain about on our bodies because everything really just starts to deteriorate horribly. And so men are more and more these days more conscious of how they look, and they're paying greater attention to their looks because this is something that they feel, okay, it matters now, actually.
The only people who are ever going to see your balls are the people you're sleeping with.
I know. But apparently...
And they're not sleeping with you because of your balls.
I know. But apparently, for men of a certain age, their scrotums give them such a complex about themselves that some of them are thinking, let me go in and get a scrotal lift, which is exactly what this procedure promises.
But let's see what the thought process is. You're looking yourself in the mirror, and you're going, yeah, not so bad, still got it. And you go, oh, but look how low my balls are. And then what?
That's a weak point.
And you sort of prop them up, and then you sort of look and go, that's better. Maybe I'm not that old yet. And Gareth, I mean, have you had this conundrum yet?
I have not. I don't observe my balls with such kind.
Right.
I really don't. I check they're healthy. I check that there's nothing cancerous going on over there. Mm. Otherwise, I leave them to be.
I guess what you don't want as a guy, and again, I'm just trying to put myself in someone else's position, you don't want your balls hanging lower than your your penis, essentially.
But they
right?
do.
But they do. Maybe that's where it comes up. When it becomes an issue where your penis is lost in this visage of ball.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
I don't want to think about this anymore. Balls make me uncomfortable.
I know, but okay, let's think about it. So before the before the metrosexual era,
yeah,
there were a lot of things that men were not paying attention to,
no.
right? And then when the metrosexuals started to make things, you know, certain things trendy and cool, then all of a sudden average guys were like, yeah, actually, maybe I could look better in this department, or maybe I should wax my chest, or maybe I should, you know, so up until that whole phase, guys were generally not paying attention
to things.
We
were just wild animals before.
No, I'm not saying you were wild animals, but what I'm saying is...
We were.
They made you think about certain things differently. Well, scrotal lift is about to change the playing field.
I'm not ready for this next step in our evolution, okay?
But you know what it comes down to, Mubs? The reason guys start shaving their bushes is to make their penises look bigger. So if tucking your nuts is going to make your penis look bigger, then that's probably what it really comes
down
to.
That's a real reason.
So that's there we go. Bottom line.
I say it's about time. It's about time men took care of themselves. As women, we go through a lot to look good.
Right. Men need to sort themselves out.
Yes.
Bunch of wild animals.
All day today, guys are going to be looking at their balls going, yeah, it does look bigger
maybe
if I tuck
it. Yeah.
Or we're going to think how much longer other people's are.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever noticed, like, women have one breast always hangs slightly higher or lower than the other.
Yeah.
No one has perfect symmetry in their breasts.
No.
Now, guys, one ball will always hang slightly lower than the other.
Ah, I didn't know
that. There's reason for that.
What's the reason?
Well, think about it. If they were at the same length, they would just grind against each other when you walk. And then I'm sure Dr. Jonathan Witt will know better than me, but I heard there's some vein that's connected to your scrotum, which lifts one of the balls up because this vein goes around your heart or something like that. He'll know much better than me.
This is the strange thing about talking about balls. It makes you queasy.
You know lots of stuff. Don't know where you get this, but that's interesting stuff you know. All right. moving on.
Okay. So we'll move on from scrotal lifts to the Zika virus, which, you know, a lot of scientists are paying a lot of attention to. And there is a report that hints that the Zika virus can now be spread through oral sex. Oh, my goodness. A report from France suggests that the Zika virus can be transmitted through oral sex. Zika is typically spread through the bite of a mosquito. But the new case adds to building evidence that the virus may be transmitted through sexual contact more readily than thought. So we're all familiar with Zika symptoms, right? The virus can cause a catastrophic birth defect known as microcephaly because it is mild in most people, but it is when women give birth to babies that the problems are noticed. So in the face of the growing reality of sexual transmission of Zika, UN health officials announced updated guidelines this week. And basically, like initially they had said that men and women should wait for 4 weeks before engaging in the bunga bunga after being in an area that's infected by the virus. They're now saying, actually wait 8 weeks. So wait for 2 months before you start having any kind of sexual activity with a person who was in a Zika area.
Now this is bad because a lot of Olympians go to the Olympics for sex.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
All those condoms that go out.
Yes.
And now they've, wow.
That's going to really put a spanner in the works for them. Huh? Terrible. These poor guys.
Like the sex sources, they say good sex could make a better world. So now no sex, what are we going to have, moody people?
All over. And South America, that's a very sexual place, right?
Very.
Yeah, I mean, the women down there are all curvaceous and
gorgeous.
And
yeah.
Sexy.
Yeah.
And look at what we've got now. We've got this goddamn Zika virus. Let me tell you something. This is bad news, everybody.
I mean, that's like...
This is very bad news.
It's like telling French people not to smoke. There'll be a war in the back of this.
Right.
It is bad news because scientists studied the case of a 24-year-old woman in Paris who came down with Zika symptoms. And this is after she had sex several times with a 46-year-old man who had been in South America. And what they discovered was that they were able to detect and pick up the virus in the man's semen, his saliva, and his urine. And he basically passed it on to her through sex. So.
And then you have those children with the shrunken heads, right?
Well, yes. Exactly.
These kids come out and they've all got little pinheads.
microcephaly.
Yeah.
So it just means that men from South America ain't getting any action at all.
Nothing. So it's their problem, but I mean, I feel bad for everybody. I feel the worst for, you know, people who are going to travel to South America and now want to change their plans. I mean, if you're going to go, you either need to only have sex with your own wife or husband, or you just need to be celibate. Enjoy Brazil, but be celibate.
I know, but I mean, if they could even detect the virus in this guy's saliva, that means you can't even kiss. I mean, what are we supposed to do then? Just
high fives.
Elbow each other.
High fives, Bazooka.
Wear a hazmat suit and explore Rio de Janeiro. But you got to look like you've just stepped out of a laboratory.
And go celibate, basically.
Yeah, right.
Trust me, people are going to be finding quite, like, inquisitive ways of having sex now. Like, anal without kissing, something to avoid it like that. They're not going to stop having sex.
Well, Flex, I think anal would give you the same problems. No, seriously. I think it would be just as dangerous.
But it's fine though, because all guys are going to get these ball lifts. We haven't got time to have sex now. We need to work on our saggy sacks.
Your scrotoplasty.
And you know it actually works out great because you'll get your scrotoplasty right on the back of winning gold, whatever, and then that's going to take 8 weeks to come right. That's the 8 weeks needed for your Zika period.
Oy vey.
It works out great.
Sure. You're really thinking about this, Ben. It's important.
I really am.
Jared has just sent me a picture of a woman holding a very, very low-hanging pair of balls.
Oh, okay.
Which is great, because, you know, you need to see that first thing in the morning.
Sure.
On a Monday. All right. What else do we have?
Well, in what could arguably be decided as one of the oddest things to steal, a cloth with a drop of blood from the late Pope John Paul II has been stolen from the Cologne Cathedral.
Oh, no.
Yeah. German police said that a visitor noticed on Sunday that the religious relic had disappeared and alerted a church user. Police quoted the cathedral's provost, Gerd Bachner, lamenting the spiritual loss of the relic. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do with this cloth after you've stolen it? Are you going to post it on eBay?
I'll bet you any amount of money this is not a non-religious person who took this. There's no value in this for anyone who doesn't. You have to be a really devout Catholic. So the best place to start looking for the thief is in the church. In the congregation of that church.
This is actually very dangerous. Obama's Secret Service, if a fork goes in his mouth, they have to get the fork afterwards, because if it falls into the wrong hands of the wrong people with amazing technology to sort of like recreate other people and mimic other people and get genes and stuff, then they can sort of make a missile or something that can target his gene cell or something like that. And the same with the Pope. I watched this thing on the Secret Service. Yeah.
Is this Conspiracy Wednesdays early?
No, I promise you. Obama, anything that goes into his mouth or has his saliva.
Okay, but you're talking about DNA. You're talking
DNA.
About how you shouldn't be able to get a sample of the president's DNA, because then you can make a biological weapon that pertains particularly to him. All right, I mean, that's...
Same with the Pope.
It's a bit of a stretch, but all right, fine. So with the Pope's blood, this is the former Pope, John Paul II, who's dead. There's none of that risk now.
No.
But this is just a very strange thing. Like, the Catholic Church has a lot of relics. Okay. And they put these relics into things called reliquaries.
Okay.
Or things called a monstrance. I'm not making this up.
Those are very... they could have opted for different words. They just wrap around your tongue very trickily.
Trickily?
You see.
Reliquary?
Reliquary?
And monstrance.
Monstrance. Okay.
A monstrance.
Yeah.
So these things contain like a bone of a saint or a drop of blood from a saint, and it's basically some part of a dead person, and then it's in a gold container of a kind. That's called a reliquary. And a monstrance is even more impressive. Google image a monstrance, you'll see what I mean. What's that? What's Pashida?
How do you know these things?
You know stuff.
He reads.
A monstrance. Look that stuff up.
A monstrant.
Monstrance.
Yeah. Take a look at it. Okay, enough about monstrances and
reliquaries.
Thank you. Oh my God. I need to pray. Someone bring me a relic, please. I need to pray over a relic. Get my my head right this morning. Because clearly it's not plugged in properly. It is Monday.
The pedophile song.
Over to you, Mads.
4 years ago, this is back in 2012, Health Minister Aaron Motsoaledi had said and had promised that they were working on making sure that cigarettes were sold in plain packaging, right? Because this is apparently going to get a whole lot of people to stop smoking, is if the box that they buy their cigarettes in doesn't have branding on it. Okay.
Yeah.
4 years later, the health minister was making the same promise on World Tobacco Day, which took place sometime last week. But he says that his department have made very little progress in trying to get this policy into effect. Other countries following suit are Australia, which adopted the plain packaging laws in 2012. Britain also adopted them. New Zealand and France are introducing similar measures. And so again, you know, we go back to the question of, yes, the health department are trying all that they can to try and get people to, you know, abstain from unhealthy habits.
Right. Don't smoke.
But is it really going to stop a smoker from buying cigarettes if all of a sudden he's buying his cigarettes in a plain box as opposed to a branded box?
No, it doesn't make a difference. Smoker's going to find a way to smoke, even if they have to make their own cigarettes with what do they call those things? Like a Twizzler. What is that thing called? Huh? You know what I'm talking about, right? It's like a...
Rizzler?
Oh, Rizzler. Rizzler. Yeah.
So you roll your own cigarettes. Eventually, people will do that if you start taking them. Plus, certain people like certain brands of cigarettes. How are you going to be able to tell them what the brand is if you don't have some kind of color or label or branding on it? That's not the reason people smoke. Because it's cool packaging. I've never met a smoker who said, you know, the reason I smoke these is because the packaging is really sexy. This is like a ball lift all over again. You don't need this. You're focusing on the wrong thing.
I wonder, though, how brands like, you know, Peter Stuyvesant or Dunhill will feel about this whole packaging thing. You know, if the laws come into effect. I wonder if they will raise issues and if they will complain.
They don't care. Because they're still going to sell cigarettes. That's what they know, and we're just trying to avoid. We're trying to ignore the fact that they'll keep on selling cigarettes.
I heard that in Thailand, on like the cigarette boxes, like you'll see a lung that's been affected by smoking, stuff like that. Very graphic. Things.
Very, very graphic.
Yeah. You get a lot of
that still doesn't stop people.
People still buy it.
No. Why is this thing suddenly making all these noises? This computer hasn't made a notification noise for years, and now suddenly it's starting to do this. Very irritating. I'll figure it out. Don't worry. Not your problem. Sometimes I bring you into conversations that you don't need to be brought into. So I just want to apologize with peace and love. Peace and love. All right. I mean, Mubs, let me ask you something about the cigarette thing.
Yeah.
If you were a smoker, and once you were.
Yes.
Did it make any difference to you whether the packaging changed?
No.
You didn't care, right?
Well, it didn't stop me from smoking.
No. And would you start smoking again if someone came out with the coolest cigarette box ever?
No, because I got tired of smoking, so that's why I stopped.
Right. Fashida, you don't smoke?
Not at all.
Ben, you don't smoke?
No, not cigarettes and that kind of stuff. Not at all.
Flex, you don't smoke?
Nah.
So the three of you wouldn't be persuaded if they suddenly came up with the greatest branding in the world and put cigarettes in a very sexy box. You wouldn't suddenly want to go and start smoking.
No, not at all.
So I raise curiosity.
So I do not know. I don't know what they're chasing on this. What do you want people to do? Just leave people alone. If they want to smoke, they're going to smoke. If they don't want to smoke, they're not going to smoke. Full stop. It doesn't matter what kind of packaging you put it in, or if you advertise it, or if you don't.
But what about the children, Gareth?
What about the children? Whose children?
Well, I mean, this is what all topics of discussion end up at. It's at the point of, but we need to protect the children.
From what?
We need to stop children from taking up the habit to begin with. This is the argument that people use.
Then raise them properly. It's got nothing to do with advertising and cigarette boxes. If you raise your kids right and you tell them smoking is bad for you and this is why. I mean, my parents smoke, for God's sake. They've never stopped. They love their cigarettes, but I don't smoke at all. They raised me right. They said, you know what? Don't smoke like us. Then I took them seriously. Now I know. I've never even put a lit cigarette to my mouth. I have no interest in this stuff.
I think the problem could come in when curiosity kicks in. You see this cool box and then you think, I wonder if it tastes as nice as it looks to like a kid that's never ever smoked in their life. Mm. And then they try it and they're like, this isn't so bad. And then they get addicted to it.
Well, Romain from the Renegade Report has just chimed in and said, why the hell is the government determining what I can smoke or cannot smoke? Aaron Motsoaledi is a health Nazi.
He's just trying to protect you.
What? I don't want people protecting me.
He's the health minister after all.
Yeah, but then he must, you know what he must do? Make sure the provincial hospitals run right. That would be a good place to start. Worry about the smokers. The smokers will take care of themselves, and if they don't, they'll die before the rest of us, so it sorts itself out. Everybody shut up and let them do their thing. Okay?
Okay.
I say that as a second-hand smoke inhaler almost all my life.
And remember when they used to say that secondhand smoke kills just as much as smoking the actual cigarette?
Well, I'm still here.
Oh, you're still here.
All right, what else do we have to know?
So in just a little bit of celebrity news, that's actually, you know, got me thinking about what a frustrating situation this could be if you find yourself in it. Mariah Carey, you know, she's set to marry this billionaire guy. I think he's worth like $4.5 billion, which is nice. Great. But the problem is that she is still married to Nick Cannon, and he's apparently refusing to sign the divorce papers, which means that until he does so, she can't really marry this billionaire guy. Apparently, sources have said that the 35-year-old TV presenter, this is now Nick Cannon, he still loves Mariah, and he still wants to, or he's not ready to let go of her officially.
I heard he was banging every other girl in Hollywood.
But I mean, that's Hollywood.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
How can he be in love with her, but he's banging everyone else?
I mean, legally, what do you do when your spouse refuses to sign divorce papers? Is there a way of forcing them to sign, or do you have to wait for them to come around?
This is the whole problem with marriage. It should be a very easy opt-out clause. It shouldn't be complicated. Like, if one party doesn't want to be there anymore, it's over. It's over. You don't need the other party to say so. Just grab your suitcase and leave. Finished. Bye-bye. That was very nice while it lasted. Now it's over.
Yeah.
Right.
The problem is people don't move on at the same pace. So
right.
Where one party might be thinking, you know, it was fun while it lasted and I'm done. The other party might still be holding on to shit.
But you can't make someone love you.
I know.
So what are you going to do? Get out. Run away. Yeah, Nick Cannon, let poor Mariah have her divorce paper.
Let her marry her billionaire. Come on.
But she told him we belong together.
I think.
And he took it literally.
If Nick doesn't want to sign the divorce papers, then Mariah has to go to court, and then the court basically cancels their marriage, stating that she wants it done, he doesn't, he's stopping her, and then it's done.
Right. Get on with it.
Yeah.
No, I like that. All right, Flax, it's time for you to give us a little weekend update. Flax trolls the celebrity news. Since we've started with Mariah Carey, we'll bring him in on this. Flax, what do we need to know?
So new friendships have been, what's the word, joining over the weekend?
Burgeoning, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Ben broke like last week that Lewis Hamilton and Justin Bieber became friends. But now there's a new person in the mix, Neymar. If I'm correct, Ben, he's a soccer player for Barcelona.
Yep, yes. Correct.
So over the weekend, they went to go watch a soccer match.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Justin, Neymar, and Lewis. And also, Justin was playing soccer with Neymar over the weekend as well. So this could be the new, go-out crew on the weekend.
The new bromance.
Yeah.
Okay.
I never expected this because they're all such different ages. I mean, Neymar's, I think, 24. Lewis is in his 30s. And Justice is probably like 21, 22, something like that.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, Flex, how much does this excite you?
I would love to be in this trio over here.
This
Make
would be
it
the,
a quadruple foursome
This
right
would be
there.
The best thing ever, right, for you?
I mean, they're all so cool. Like, Lewis has money and he has the connections and stuff. Neymar has cash. I mean, right now he's renting.
They're rich, Michael. They're rich. They're all rich.
All so rich.
Yeah.
They can do whatever they want. They can hire the biggest yacht for the weekend, fill it up with girls and booze, and have the biggest jaw.
This would be like your ultimate real-life entourage setup.
Like, I would never put the three together because I'd never think they would gel, But this is the perfect trio for going out and clubbing and renting Ferraris on the weekend and racing and stuff like that. Because if the one doesn't have it, then the other one has it. Like, Lewis Hamilton has his own private jet, but Justin and Neymar don't. Justin
poor
and,
them.
Justin and Lewis Hamilton don't have an 11-bedroom mansion that they're renting, but Neymar does.
So they all help each other out. It's the lifestyles of the rich and famous, but it's all three pitching in. It's like a... It's basically a consortium.
As if their publicists and like PR thought out this relationship beforehand, what each other can offer each other.
And because they all are in that rarefied kind of celebrity world, they can trust each other too. So, you know, like if Lewis Hamilton goes off with some girl from the club, the other two aren't going to bust him because they've got just as much at stake.
And they know that Lewis will pick hot girls who know other hot girls, so it also benefits them as well. So
well, you see, when you're those three, you don't really have to do much. Hot girls just kind of gravitate towards you like a magnet. You really don't have to stress about it.
You have to wake up.
You just have to exist. Yeah. Walk in somewhere and the girls will just be throwing themselves at you.
Right.
Thinking about it, this weekend was actually all about weird relationships because on Saturday night, Drake went on a date with Hailey Baldwin.
Who's that?
Hailey Baldwin. I think it's
Alec Baldwin's daughter?
Niece. Yeah, niece I think it is.
Who could keep track with those Baldwins? There are about 20 of them.
But she's like friends with the Jenners and all of them. It's just a very weird relationship. And it seems they got quite close because... when she entered, she had a necklace that had an H on it for Hailey.
Mm-hmm.
And when Drake exited, he had her necklace around his neck now.
Whoa.
Sort of like, I'm going to phone you tomorrow to come and get my necklace back, and then we can see each other. You know, like when girls leave something or the guy leaves something at the girl's house?
I'm not excited about this story. What else?
I think they are a very bad couple.
Okay.
Another collab, which is also very strange and didn't work for me. Justin Bieber remixed Drake's One Dance. Now, there was so much hype about it that it's going to be the coolest song ever, but after listening to it, I'm really not a fan of the song.
You want me to play it?
Yeah,
everybody,
go for it.
You decide. Here we go. Everybody listen to this. Tell me if you like it. Too close now, nothing like you and me. I don't know your name, but I'm sure that you know me. Fell in love with the music, the feeling is mutual. Loving the way I move on me. Skin so soft, hands on my face to be directed. And you're all that's not great. It's alright. Anybody love that?
I know.
It sounds like quite a lot's going on here.
It's not very exciting. All right.
Half the song, I don't even know what he's talking about. He starts dishing out numbers like the 547, like just a random area code or something like that. He thinks he can't rap. He's a singer.
Yeah. There we go. And for you to say that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
honest about Justin Bieber. If I don't like something he does, I'll say it straight to his face.
Very good.
Chris Brown still got anger issues, eh?
What's he done? Who did he beat up this time?
He smashed a fan on the head with his foot. He was doing a concert, and after walking off stage, you just see him just go full on, just kick the dude in the head for no reason.
I think that Chris Brown has got to be one of the worst people in the world.
Yeah.
Who would do that? I don't... You know, people who are just violent for no good reason. It drives me crazy. I do not understand this. I have never been violent to a stranger.
I mean, why would he smash the same person who buys his CDs and buy tickets to his concerts?
Exactly. A lunatic. The guy's a maniac. He's out of control.
I don't know. Maybe when you have anger issues, you don't really know you have anger issues. And for a celebrity, everyone...
This guy should know by now.
Everyone around him is probably too scared to tell him you have anger issues. Because in case he kicks him out the crew or something.
That whole thing with Rihanna all those years ago should have got everybody... including Chris Brown, onto the same page that this is not good. Remember, he apologized. He did everything, right. But if this is true, if he's kicking in fans' heads, there's a major problem going on.
There's a video of it and everything. It's really disgusting.
Okay, like, Michael, and I mean this no disrespect to you, but has celebrity ever been more boring or shit? Like, all these stories. I mean, is anything actually happening here?
I find it exciting.
No, I'm sure you do. I'm just saying, like, in the greater scheme of things, has there ever been a time in celebrity life that has been so insignificant?
I know what Ben's on about here.
I don't understand.
It's like we've got guys with pseudo closet homosexual feelings hanging out in Europe together. You've got a guy who can't behave, and you've got someone else who can't make music, so therefore he's sort of jumping on someone else's bandwagon. Is that it? Is this
the terminus to which we've come?
Is this the crowning moment of celebrity life? Is this it? Is this what celebrity is now?
It's sort of like keeping up with their life is entertaining. Like, people like watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians to keep up with their life.
Oh, yeah, I'm not disputing that. I'm just asking the question, like, is this it? Is this the pinnacle of celebrity life nowadays?
Just about. You watch their every move and you wait for a mistake.
And then? What do you get out of it?
You try make yourself feel like you're better than a celebrity because you'd never made that mistake.
Well, then I am afraid that the future does not bode well for any of us. Because if you're comparing yourself to celebrities, your life's already in the toilet.
That's because everyone wants to be a celebrity.
Well, I don't know.
And then celebrities don't want...
I know plenty of very happy people who are not celebrities.
I bet you celebrities don't want to be celebrities. They don't want to walk outside and have paparazzi follow their every move. Like, you probably can't even pick your nose, like, around a corner.
Can't. These guys hate their lives. Trust me. They make plenty of money. They have interesting jobs, mostly. But that's it. The rest of it's just work. It's hard work. It's people. It's managing people. It's managing expectations. It's horrible. Okay. I think we're done with this. Anything else you want to throw in?
No, that covers my weekend wrap-up.
All right, so we've got two guys called Steve and Donovan coming in a moment or two. They're pitching a new reality show called Virtual Fear. I don't know about the idea behind this. We're going to have to find out what it is exactly. And Donovan, of course, Donovan from Beichot, he's the guy who was the king of porn in South Africa. He actually took a script from Ben for a rugby porno.
Yeah, oh, what yeah. happened to that?
What We're was it called out. Again, Ben, your pawn?
Los Leif Pompfeld.
Los Leif Pompfeld.
That's right. Los Leif Pompfeld.
I was assured it was being made.
Well, we'll find out from Donovan whether it's being made or not. And Steve will pop in as well. We're going to check out their new ideas for a reality TV show. Sounds very exciting, Mubs, because it is. And then I'll give you a look at the rest of the lineup today on CliffCentral.com. So plenty of good stuff. CliffCentral.com.